If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And so for the next few Wednesday nights, again, like I said, I'll be over in the choir room walking through the book of Ephesians. I will tell you, for me, I love the book of Ephesians. I think it's awesome. Like, it's one of those ones that I've preached through several times, and it would definitely not be the place that I would have went to with you tonight, because for me, it's the familiarity of it sometimes gets the best of us. And so you become the assuming of, well, they've already heard Ephesians. They've already seen Ephesians. And that's shame on me, because God's word is very deep. And so therefore, you can never plumb the depths of his word. And so therefore, you could read through it and read through it and read through it. And so I'm going to just be honest with you. I read through it again. And the pastor challenged me. And here's what he said. We're in a staff meeting. And as we're in staff meeting, we're talking about, what do we do? We grow. All right, grow for adults. And so really, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm kind of taking the charge of the adult side of it for the parents. So in September, we'll do parenting classes on Sunday nights. So we'll offer that. On Wednesday nights, we'll offer, in the fall, we'll offer ladies Ecclesiastes, men Ecclesiastes, walking through the book of Ecclesiastes. We're trying to get spouses to teach it. And then that way, the man and the woman is teaching, they're at home, they're talking about it, and then they're going to go teach it, that up to the women and to the men. We're just trying to bring as much health into that of the teaching as we can. So that's in the fall. And so for us, on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights in the summer, it kind of gets slow. And so we were kind of going, well, what do we do? Where do we go? And so the pastor says two words. And you ready, guys? It is not a word that I go around using all the time. So please just know, I wrote the definitions down. I'm going to share them with you. He says, well, we just spent some time in doing orthodoxy. So now what we need to do is do orthopraxy. And I'm like, yep, let me get my phone out. And I got my phone out and I Googled orthopraxy. I mean, I know what it meant, but to say. So what we're going to do is, if you'll notice, we'll always do that. We'll do something with orthodoxy, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute, and then we'll do orthopraxy. So hermeneutics, that's going to be orthodoxy, and that's going to be teaching of that realm. And so now what do? We put it to practice, all right? So there's two words. One would be orthodoxy. Orthodoxy refers to the essential core beliefs that define the Christian faith, all right? The essential core beliefs that define the Christian faith. The Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church would say it's the right belief as contrasted with heresy. That is pretty good from that. It says these beliefs are biblically grounded and universally affirmed by historic Christianity. While Christians may defer on secondary doctrines, and a secondary doctrine would be end times. Like, that's secondary. There's some in here that believes in pre-trib, and there's some that believes in mid-trib, and some believes in post-trib. And you're like, Pastor Scott, what are those words? You write them down and go home and Google it, because that's what I would have had to have done. Remember? Orthopraxy. That's how we learn. We write things down and we go home and Google it. And so, but it's grounded and universally affirmed by historic Christianity. While Christians may differ on secondary doctrines, rejection of orthodox beliefs places one outside the bounds of true biblical Christianity, such as the proper way to study and teach God's word. All right, y'all, there is a proper way. And if you want to go, all you got to do is text me. Pastor Scott, send me one of those videos. I can show you where there's preachers in the pulpits every Sunday that do not properly study and do not properly exegete the scriptures. And it's a mess. And it's sad. But they're preaching it as truth. All right? So that's orthodoxy. Orthopraxy. Orthopraxy comes from two Greek words. Ortho, right. The word ortho means right, correct, or straight. So that'll help you with orthodoxy as well. Praxis is the practice or the action. And so Got Questions is where I went to. That's a great place for you to go. I don't know if you put apps on your phone, but you could put an app on your phone called Got Questions. And you can type in there and you can ask it all types of questions. And it'll tell you. And they're pretty good. I've not found anything to be heretical or misleading. So I tell my students that all the time. Download that app. If you can put a game app on your phone, you can put that on your phone. It'll help you. Just as an orthodontist, orthodontist straightens the teeth, or an orthopedist corrects the skeleton. Orthopraxy refers to the right behavior. And I like how that put that, because orthodontist, although y'all, I'm scared to death of dentist. I don't know if y'all know that. Dentist, listen, dentist in my life is like, I would dread it if I knew I had a dentist appointment 2 weeks from now. All right, like I'd already be getting kind of upset about it. And so for that, what happened was I found the best dentist in the world. His name's Dr. Avison. Okay, I drive an hour to the dentist. It's in Lincolnton. And I'm not ashamed. That man gives me gas. Not gas, like gas, but he gives me nitrous. And that makes me feel relaxed if he's doing a cavity or something like that. Clean, I don't need it. But Matt, yo, you know what, y'all? I don't sweat it no more. It's so great when you have good people doing their job well, all right? But when you think about that, the ortho, it's the right. It's correcting it. In Christianity, it means living out one's faith in daily life. See, we ought to be living out our faith daily. And I really think our churches have really, and I was guilty of it as well, and that is just live it out my faith on Sunday, or live out my faith on Sunday night, or live out my faith on Wednesday night. But really, in reality, we ought to be living our faith out daily. And we'll see that tonight as we get into Ephesians 1. I promise you we'll get there. It means living out one's faith in a daily life, actions that reflect biblical truth. Actions that reflect biblical truth. And so the way we love one another, it reflects. And so that shows that you're using the orthopraxy. You're putting the things to action. So it's like coming to church on Sunday morning, and our pastor does a phenomenal job. I'm sweating Sunday morning, y'all. Whew, he left me with a rough one. But it'll be okay. God's got it. And but with it, I'm thankful that my pastor preaches the message that he preaches. But here's the sad part. You ready? Unless you go and put it to practice, you're wasting your time on Sunday morning. And so you should be putting those things to practice. All right. And so therefore, that's orthopraxy. And so with doing that, pastor says, hey, so he's already dropped that one on me. All right. And then he says these words. You ready? Hey, he says, hey, I need you to do, why don't you do a book on Watchman Nee? And I'm like, I don't know who that is. He goes, you don't know who Watchman Nee is? And I'm like, I don't know who Watchman Nee is. Who's Watchman Nee? And he goes, well, let me explain to you who Watchman Nee is. And I was like, man, this dude's excited. Pastor Chris was excited. And I was like, yeah, listening. And I'm listening. And he goes, well, they call the pastors in China or in Asia, they would call them watchmen. All right. And so that's why you get the word watchman, and his last name would be Nee. All right. And so therefore, Watchman Nee is going to be the book that we're going to be kind of going through. I've read it. Look here. This is what's so cool about it. Look how small that thing is. When I saw that, I'm like, yeah, give me three. And so with that, though, what Watchman Nee did is Watchman Nee, and he's dead now. Watchman Nee would have written this book called Sit, Walk, Stand. All right. And what he does is he takes his hermeneutics and he goes through the book of Ephesians, and then he shows us how we are to put to practice those things as he studies and as he brings out the truths of God's word. All right. And what we're going to see is that the book of Ephesians can be broke down in these three areas: sit, walk, and stand. And so when he handed me this book, I'm going, sit. That ain't what I've been told. You've been told, telling me I need to go. And so what do you mean, sit? And it's amazing. You'll appreciate the words of Paul, all right? Not Watchman Nee, although it was great. You're going to really appreciate the words of Paul out of the book of Ephesians. And so Watchman Nee became a Christian in the mainland of China in 1920 at the age of 17. He was a gifted teacher and a writer, and he ministered for over 30 years before being imprisoned in 1952. In 1952, he was imprisoned for his faith, and he remained in prison until 1972, and that would have been when he would have died. And so Watchman Nee wrote several books. This would just be one of them. His devotional commentary, Sit, Walk, Stand, explores the message of Ephesians and outlines those three stages: the sit, the walk, and the stand. And how do we put it to practice? How do we put it to action? All right. It's amazing to me how so many times we lose sight of that. When we read God's word, God's word needs to be put to action. All right. And so therefore, that's the orthopraxy. And so what takes place is if when you go to Ephesians chapter one, what we find is when we start talking about this being in Christ, And you'll find all through the book of Ephesians, you'll find this statement in Christ about 25 times, depending on your version. You'll find it written, Paul's using those words, in Christ. And it's huge, I'm telling you. As little as the word in is, and as small the word Christ is, it is a huge thing that's being said in those two words. And so what happens is as you look, if you go to like Ephesians chapter 2, notice Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And this is really where this whole sit thing kind of just centers around, all right? In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 6, my Bible says this, and hath raised. Now look, I know we're dropping right in the middle of the context. I will come back to it, okay? Please do not judge me. All right? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Now I took in my Bible, in Christ Jesus. So many times we get to that in Christ and we really don't think about that. Because why? Well, it's a small statement. We spend more time on the but God out of that of verse 4 than we ever have of the in Christ. And the crazy thing is, or the great thing is that when you and I start talking about this in Christ, we see there's an orthodoxy here, and that would be, you ready? The union that we have with Christ. Listen, you cannot teach this any other way, because if you teach it any other way, then therefore you're teaching heresy. And so we're learning an orthodoxy here, and that is that there is a union with Christ that we have because of what God's word says, not because of what Watchman Nee says. And so this union with Christ refers to the believer's spiritual relationship and identification with Jesus Christ. I'm reading it again. It's a union, this union with Christ, this in Christ statement. Now, I'm just speaking of the orthodoxy. I'm not speaking of the orthopraxy right now. This is just where you and I, we must understand. You must believe this. And he says this. He says, a union with Christ refers to the believer's spiritual relationship and identification with Jesus Christ. It means that everything that is true of Christ, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness and heavenly position, becomes true of the believer by grace through faith. I read it again. It's pretty cool. The union with Christ refers to the believer's spiritual relationship and identification with Jesus Christ. I identify. When you call yourself a Christian, you're saying that you are a Christ follower, and that you believe the things that are being taught in God's word. I am a Christ follower. I follow after Christ with Jesus Christ. It means that everything that is true of Christ, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness, and heavenly position, becomes true of the believer by grace through faith. And we're going to see that in chapter 1. We begin the Christian life not by working. Think about that for a second. We begin the Christian life not by working, but by resting. Oh, that's amazing to me. I never even thought of that until Pastor Chris says, do some orthopraxy. And so you ready? In John chapter 19, verse 30, we know that Christ would have used these words. It is finished, paid in full. And at the moment that Christ would have said those words, we know then that it was done. Everything that God had called him to do, everything for those 3.5 years, everything that was prophesied all through the Old Testament, some 300 plus prophecies. I told the kids the other night, just for Christ, and I'm probably going to get this number wrong, just for Christ to get 8 of those 300 fulfilled, if he only got 8 of them, just by chance if he did, all right, it was just, he slipped up and done it by accident, but we know he did all 300 perfectly. It's the chances of that being done by any individual will be like it was like 1 to the 10th of 1,028. And I'm not a math person, so I had to write down all the zeros on the whiteboard up in the youth room. I should have done it tonight as well. And so what happens is we see then that Christ, it begins with resting. I don't know if you noticed this, but the pastor brought up something that was so cool the other day walking through the book of Hebrews. There was no seat in the temple. The priests were always at work. We're always at work, church. We're always at work. And so the priest was always either coming or going or doing sacrifices, or there was constant going. But yet when Christ, the great high priest, remember that? The great high priest, whenever he says it is finished, he sat down at the right hand of the Father and he sat. And that is where you and I are at today as well as believers. Wayne Grudem, which I like. You ought to go check it out. He's got a Bible doctrine book that mine's falling apart, or I'd have brought it out here and showed it to you. Wayne Grudem said this. You ready? We are not physically present in heaven, of course, for we remain here on earth at this present time. But if Christ's session at God's right hand refers to his reception of authority, then the fact that God has made us sit with Christ means that we now share in some measure in the authority that Christ has. We do share in some of that. That's why I'm telling you, church, listen, I think many times we Baptists, we become so tight that we just don't allow the Spirit of God to move. We don't allow. I mean, it's like, nope, can't do it. No, I cannot. And you're like, yeah, but hold on a second. But has God not given you the power? Has he not given you the power of that? It says that of the resurrection. You're like, wait a minute, Pastor Scott, you're not going to go down Bethel and tell us that you can raise people from the dead. No, I'm not going to do that. But I will do this. I will do this. I come out of a Lowe's one day, and this is back before I came to church, before I started serving here. And my aunt Hazel had just passed away with cancer. And so I knew what a do-rag was, because my Aunt Hazel, she got diagnosed the day after Thanksgiving, and she died the day after Christmas. So that's how long she had to live. And so with that, man, I was broken. That's my Aunt Hazel, man. Aunt Hazel, she was the one that she beat me, y'all. That woman, she was a discipliner, let me tell you. But anyway, hey, one time I got a whipping just in church. I got a whipping. She yanked me up by my ear. We went out the door. She wore my hind end out, brought me back in, sat down right beside her, you know. And when I got home, my dad said, what happened? I said, well, I did X, Y, or Z. And he said, well, come on, let's go. And my dad whipped me too. I'm like, man, wasn't one enough? But anyway, I knew what the do-rag was. And so I had my three girls. And so we were coming out of Lowe's, and I seen a woman in the handicapped spot there. She was in the passenger side. And I said, girls, I want you to go get in the car. And I locked the doors. They're right beside me. Please don't call DSS. And so I was there with me, I promise you. But I went over and I told this lady, I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? Do you have cancer? And she said, how did you know? And I said, well, the do-rag. And I said, I was just moved that I should come and pray with you. And she said, wow. She said, yeah. And I said, well, let's pray. No, she goes, no, you're not. So she gets out of the car and she says, you're going to put your hands on where it's at. And I'm like, okay. And so she starts putting her hand. I'm thinking, Lord, please. And it was on her stomach. She had stomach cancer. And we began to pray, y'all. We had a great time in that Lowe's parking lot. Now, you ready? I prayed believing that I knew my God could. All right, my God can heal that woman. My God can heal, y'all. All right? If it's his will. I believe that. I will pray that. And I'll pray as bold as I can, because I know that my God can, if it's his will. And so what happens is I go about my day, we get in the car, and my girl's like, Dad, who was that? I don't know. They do that to me all the time. I'm like, Dad, who was that? I don't know. But I know. And so she tracked me down. I was teaching at Statesville Christian School, and she would have left a card there for me. And the card that she wanted to let me know, because she found me, is that she went back to the doctor a couple weeks later, and she was cancer-free. Are you ready? You're like, Pastor Scott, you got special powers. No, I don't. It's the power that God has given to me to be able to pray for her, believing that she could, and it was God's will that she be healed. And you know what? She's glorifying God for it. You ready? I don't receive the glory. And so what happens is just like Wayne Grudem said there. Now watch what he says. This shared authority is not about earthly power, but spiritual power. It includes the ability to stand firm against the powers of darkness, as described in Ephesians chapter 6, or in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I'll ask you the question. You ready? If you really believe that you're in Christ, all right, then therefore my question to you is, did you put on the armor of God this morning? Because, see, you got to understand, we have that power, but the power is through that of Christ, the one that we rest in. The one that goes before me. The one that fights the battle for me. That's Exodus. And so we see then there's a key insight that Paul keeps talking over and over and over, and that would be in Christ. And we see that take place. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to just read. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll read through, and I'm very aware of the time, and we'll have fun doing it, okay? So that's just an intro. We won't have to do that one no more, all right? The rest of the time, we'll just be in the Word. Y'all always just, maybe I'm used to kids. I don't know. Like, I do have ADD, and so I can, like, squirrel, and we can get right back in it. So if you want to squirrel, let's squirrel, right? Verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read all the way to the end of chapter 1, all right? And I'm going to go in Christ. And you'll notice something you probably never noticed before. All right, maybe you have. If you have, that's cool. We'll talk later. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Pretty cool. According as he has chosen us in him. There it is again. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's it too. Oh, yeah. That's it too. See, it's just hiding there. And he says this. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which are on earth, even in him. That's it again, twice. He says, in whom, there it is again, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and that the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is his exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only that of this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. There it is, but not really. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's amazing. Now, hold on, you ready? While I know a lot of people get to this Ephesians passage chapter 1 and they want to go down the path of one of those secondary issues, and that would be that of predestinating, or that of Arminianism, or that of Calvinism, or that of whatever. Tonight, that's not the direction I want to go. What I want to do is I want us to look at what Paul is saying. Paul is telling the church of Ephesus, if you look in verse 1, if you start there in verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's telling you his position. He stayed in his position. Remember also, the pastor of this church would have been young Timothy. Young Timothy would have been there. Young Timothy would have been receiving, and he would have been given this encouragement. And he says, by the will of God to the saints. Now that's us. That's the Christian. So therefore he's talking to the Christian, which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. There's something so great about that. So great about that, that it would take us to a place. I got to find my place. It'd take us to a place to where it's much like that of Hebrews. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to turn there. You do what you want to. Or you can just write it down. You do what you want to. You do you, baby. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. Listen what the Bible says about this seated, all right? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. My Bible says these words. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And for every priest standeth daily ministering. See, that's cool. I don't know if you, like I'm still telling you, that Sunday morning when the pastor said that, again, I've walked through that temple. I've got the books in my office. We've got that little display, I don't know, replica? It's a word. Small replica, we've got that. But listen, you ready? Until you read God's word and you let God's word teach you not just what the replica says, not just what there was no seats in that thing. And so every day there was work. Every day was constant, day in, day out. Kind of like it is here, day in, day out. And it's good, all right? I do not begrudge that. One day I tell people I hope I just die right in the hallway right here. That way y'all can put me like a star, anyway, wouldn't it be cool? Be like, this is where he died at. And then like 100 years from now, they could pray, like, come and get the picture with that star. You know, that's the idolism. That's wrong. And every priest standeth daily ministering. Now watch what he does here. And offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. It was constant. God, guys, that drives me nuts. It's kind of like trying to lead a kid, all right? You lead a kid to salvation, and as you're leading them, you're sharing with them, the Spirit of God's moving, and man, you know, man, you're seeing the fruits, and but they're just constantly going, well, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if you've ever sat down with kids like that. I don't know if you walk through with that, but you just want to pull your hair out and go, listen, you've got, but you can't. Could you imagine the priest? All right, let's do it again. And they just slice their, let's do it again. And daily. Daily ministering, daily offering sacrifices, never to come to an end, never rest. Because why? The payment just had to be made. The payment continued had to be made. The payment continued had to be made. Verse 13, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, yeah, that's my God, for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And that today, folks, listen, that is where my Savior is setting. That is where your Savior, he is setting. He is ruling from that of his throne. And you and I, as believers, that's where we need to understand. That is where we are as well. We don't need, listen, there's no need. You cannot work for your salvation. Listen, it's not going to work. That's why maybe some of you may be just constantly like, I got to do. No, you're not. It's useless. It won't pay for your sin. And the moment that you come to that, as we were talking about earlier, Miss McDonald, she had to leave out. So the moment that your scales are lifted from your eyes and you see, you're like, whoa, that is amazing. He did it all for me. There's nothing I can do. And what Paul, when Paul says that to the church of Ephesus, and just like it would be said to you and I today as well, instead of just reading over that word real quick, in Christ, we ought to pause for a moment and go, thank you, God. Man, thank you, Lord, that I have this rest, that I have this rest that can be found in that of Christ. In Christ alone. You go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you. He says these words. He says, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. You and I, we have peace and we have that grace because of us being in Christ. From the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what he does here. You ready? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, the saints, with all spiritual blessings. Notice where these blessings are at. These blessings are the one in the one that you ready? That did it all. That's what's amazing. Why? Well, because it ends with in Christ. All the spiritual blessings, everything that you and I will ever obtain one day, it is all because of Christ. It is in Christ. So you ready? So when you show up and you serve at the church, or if you're serving in whatever ministry that God has called you to serve in, you ready? I don't serve for the blessings for here. I don't serve for my salvation. I don't come to church on Sunday because, well, I know I'm saved, and so therefore I need to go to church. No, I come to church so I can worship the one that has saved me. That's why you work. That's why you serve. And you should serve with a glad heart. I tell people on Fridays is my day off. So Fridays when I come, see, you guys pay. The church pays me. I don't know if y'all know this, all right? Let's get down to the brass tacks. I think it's what they, no new taxes. All right. So anyway, you ready? So y'all pay me like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All right. And so really like Friday and Saturday should be my, but what I've decided is that I'm going to come to work anyway on Friday. See, you don't pay me for Friday. Friday's free. So I do that for crowns and jewels. That's the day that any other day I work for a paycheck. So that's not good. So you ready? Friday's crowns and jewels. So if you see me here, Lord and I joke about it, it's crowns and jewels, all right? His is crowns and jewels every day, but I digress, all right? So he says this, you ready? In Christ. Now watch what he does. I turn it over, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. Now notice that. There's a past tense into that. Why? Before the foundation of the world. You and I, it was already there. I heard one man said that we were on his mind. That as he died on that cross, you and I, Neil Hatfield put it this way, every stripe, every whip, every thorn, every drop of blood was because of you. Was because of the one that was from the foundation of the world that he had said, you know what, they are in me. Now that's the church. The church is the one from the beginning of time. That's what's so amazing about this, because it's almost as if, you ready? No, it is. It's not if. It's as this ready, as he sat down at the right hand of the Father, as we've already looked at that moment, he was pleasing unto the Father, but I wonder about the smile on his face because of the reward, because of the church. We belong to Christ. We're the bride. I don't know about how y'all were, but man, I remember when I got married 27 years ago. Yeah. I can remember when the door opened. Yeah. Yeah, and I can still see that excitement today as well, and you should be the same way with your spouse is also. That'll be $10. And so what happens is, see, I'm quick. And so what happens is you and I, is we need to understand that this was something that was planned from the beginning. And so he says these words, because of the in him. Now watch what he does here. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Unto the adoption. Because you got to understand, until you get to that point, until you understand adoption is permanent in the Hebrew. Period, family time, whatever, during the time this was being written. And what was taking place is that when a kid was brought in and a kid was adopted, the kid, whenever the parents died, everything that the children got, the adopted child got as well. Because why? Because, hey, you ready? There was rest found in it. It's almost, I don't know if you've ever seen, hung around with kids that are foster kids, but listen, you tell them that they're getting ready to be adopted. It's $10 again. That's 20 now. Now we're gonna have a slush fund before too long. And what happens is you ready? For that is the moment that they are now adopted, there is rest. And what's what happens? You ready? Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I'm gonna turn. You don't have to. You can just listen. Or you can talk on the phone, whatever you want to do. I love them. You have fun with it. You ready? Romans chapter 8, the Bible says these words. I want to make sure I started. I don't get too much scripture here. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I love it. You and I, that's ready? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption. And see, that's good stuff. I'm not saying this is true, all right? This is what my professor would say. My professor would say it's as if, you ready? You'd be able to jump on Gabriel's back and you could say, Gabriel, ride me around. Take me to heaven and earth. You know, that's just silliness, all right? He was a funny professor. And so, but really, you think about this, ready? All that belongs to Christ belongs to us. Now, hold on a minute. Don't go down the path of Francis Chan and be the little gods or the Mormons. Francis Chan does teach little God theory now. I don't know if you've got his books or you follow along with him, but he's fallen off the rails. And so that's not what I'm saying. We can't be little gods. That's nonsense, all right? We're adopted heirs, okay? And therefore, we're the bride of Christ. He is the husband. We are his bride. And so that's where it stays at. You don't let your mind go to that point. That's why Eve got herself in trouble, because she wanted to be a little God. And that's not what God is talking about. And so therefore, we have this adoption. We have this adoption. And once you see this adoption to be the adoption that it is, then therefore, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace in Ephesians chapter 1, wherewith he had made us accepted, notice this, in the beloved. Because of this adoption, you and I, we are accepted. We're accepted. Why? Well, because of Hebrews 10:19. Hebrews 10:19 says that you and I, we will enter boldly into the throne of God. We're going to enter boldly one day. You're like, how are you going to do that? Well, I think we'll still be very humble. All right. Don't think of those words. I enter boldly knowing that by being covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Hebrews 10:19 teaches, is because of me being covered, then therefore I enter boldly into the throne. Why? Not because of my doing, but because of what he's done. That's why you need to be washed. Are you washed in the blood? You got it ready. We won't sing to you. But ready? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's a grace song. It's a good thing for you to be known. Because the moment you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're now at rest. There's nothing you can do. But that doesn't mean you don't do nothing. It should stir you to want to do stuff, because he's such a good father. That's the good stuff. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. There it is. That's a Hebrews 10:19 thing. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I underline that. Because of his grace. And it's, guys, it's beyond. And the riches of it's beyond what you and I can fathom. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Made known to us this mystery according to his good pleasure, which is what? Is that you and I would be able to be in Christ. He says, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, at the time in which he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Blows my mind. But you ready? It should. Because he's God and I am not. And because in doing so, what we do is we see this and we understand that, wait a minute, God had already set this in place. You ready? Genesis 1:1. I'll tell you something pretty cool. I don't know. It's dangerous though. Me and Lord, we talked about, anybody's been around me. I've been introduced to ChatGPT, all right? That is dangerous, okay? I'm going to tell you, I think it's something we need to be very careful with within our churches, especially for the pulpit, because you can say these words, make me a sermon for Hebrews chapter 9, like for Sunday, and it's on this topic. And that dude will make you a sermon, y'all, in like 30 seconds, and you've got a sermon. You're done. And then you come and you can preach that thing. And it don't take 10 hours no more. It takes 30 seconds, which is scary, all right? But what ChatGPT does do for you, and it's a good thing, is that it cleans up my terrible English, all right? And so what I've done here recently is, because I've been introduced to it, I've now polished up my emails. And so when someone gets it, they go, who wrote that thing, Scott? And I'm like, okay, so I need to take some of the words out. So what I've had to do now is kind of change it. And you ready? I say all that to say this, is that you and I, We need to understand that it is God that has understood this. You could take that chat GPT, all right, and you could say these words. Put Genesis 1:1 into Hebrew. Oh, and it does. It puts you the Hebrew letters, all right, and then below it will give you the Hebrew word, all right, and then below that it will give you the English word, and it will show you. So, you ready? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That was, you ready? At that time, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. From that of the beginning of time. That's where it gets to be, to where you and I, it ought to be amazing to us. We ought to see God as an awesome God, because here we serve a God that, you ready? That from the beginning of time, he would say, you ready? I know this is how it's going to be fixed. This is how it can be done. This is how, and you ready? It's going to be done through you. And the Son would say, okay. But yeah, hold on a second. But then when you go through creation, you can see where the Father has a hand in creation. You can see where the Son has a hand within creation. And you can see where the Spirit of God is moving within creation. Because it says in the beginning, God being Hebrew, and the Hebrew would be Elohim, which would be plural, which is not plural like you and I in English. It would be plural like three or more. And so it would say in the beginning, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. That's cool stuff. So even in his creating, he knew about us. Those that were going to be in Christ. He knew. And for you and I today to be able to find rest in that, it should give us the strength. Now listen to this, and we're going to close. We got way more to do, I promise you. We didn't get through half of chapter 1, and it'll be okay. Got the whole summer, right? But think about this. If you and I have a proper understanding about that of finding rest in Christ, then when it comes to death, we ought to face death with a smile. When it comes to facing sickness, we ought to face sickness with a smile. When it comes to facing hard times, we should face those hard times with a smile. You say, Pastor Scott, what are you talking about? Well, because I'm in the palm of his hand, I am rest with that of the Father. And because I'm at rest, that means he's in complete control. And so therefore, it makes Romans chapter 8 just a little bit more real when he says, all things work together for good to them who are called and who are loved by him. That makes it way different when you start talking about this in Christ thing. That's why when you see people on their deathbed, I don't know, if you've seen it, I've seen it, you'll see some that they'll sing their way to death. You'll see some with smiles on their face. Alton's probably seen it. You'll see some, there's terror. And the sad part is, y'all, is that they really fully understand, did they ever put their faith in the one that is resting at the right hand of the Father? You see, when you and I put our rest in him, we are in Christ. We too can rest, knowing that there's nothing that can be done. Hey, it's all been done. And so the next thing for you and I, we long to hear, is these words. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because why? Well, because you had rest in him, then therefore you wanted to go and serve because of how good he is. The goodness of our Father. I ask you the question, have you found rest in him? Could you really say for your life that you are in Christ? Because when you and I are in Christ, then therefore we are at peace. Not because of us, but because of him and what he has done for you and for me.